Ah, we're there. Technology, never my strong point. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just read the first few verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine nature has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in self-control perseverance, and in perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, have forgotten his purification from his former sins. Well, for those who have been here when we started this, we've been looking at this first chapter, in particular the verse 5, looking at these qualities that the Lord wants us to add to our faith. And the last one that we looked at was moral excellence, and we're looking at knowledge today. But there's no coincidence in God's word when we see that this order is as it is, because moral excellence must precede knowledge. Moral excellence is to do with our character, with what God is seeking to work into our lives. And if we try and bypass that and add knowledge to our lives, then the Bible tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1, we won't look at it for the sake of time, but it says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And there's a sense that if we try and bypass moral excellence and not concerned about our character, then seeking just to add knowledge will lead to a puffing up. It will lead to arrogance. It will lead to a wrong application of that knowledge, if you like, that God is seeking to give us. So we must make sure that we are... It said the order is here because it's important in God's sight. He's given it for a very good reason. So we're going to look at this whole issue of knowledge this morning. Well, what is it? Well, first of all, it's not a sort of superficial knowing about something. There's a different Greek word used for that. And I've just got one example. I'll just give you the text. You can look at it. But I think it's in Acts 5. I think I wrote it down here. Acts 5 verse 2. When it talks about Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias, I think Sapphira comes in to Peter. And he asks, did you have knowledge of what your husband was doing? Or did you know about what your husband was doing? So there's a sort of a head knowledge of what we know in a sense of facts. But this is something more than that. It's not simply or merely a knowing about something. It's an understanding. It's a perception. The Old Testament word, the equivalent, means understanding, perception, discernment. The word gnosis in Greek that's used here means understanding. And it very much means an experiential understanding. It's to do with what we experience. Let me give you an example. When I'm teaching at school, if I'm teaching simultaneous equations, for example, to my children, I can speak for as long as I want to, and they can take it in, and they can know about it, but they can't really know how to put that into practice, or what I've been talking about, until they've actually experienced it themselves and actually practice what I've told them. And it's the same in a sport. I can teach in rugby how to pass a ball. And I can tell them exactly where to put their hands and how to hold the ball and where they should be moving their hands. And that's all well and good, but they need to put it into practice. When they've done it, they know how to pass a rugby ball because they practiced it themselves. They put it into experience. And there's something of that in this word here in the Greek. It's to do with how we experience things. It's very much an experiential knowledge. So not merely a head knowledge, there's a heart knowledge as well, and an experiential knowledge. And we need to be careful in this day and age, because there's so much that goes for knowledge or passes as knowledge that isn't actually the knowledge that God is referring to here. The knowledge that the Lord is referring to here is the things to do with the truths of God, based upon his word, based upon his mind, his heart, his will. That's the knowledge that God is talking about. And this problem plagued the early church. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6, please. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. There are things around today in the church that are falsely called knowledge, that are built upon the, if you like, not the truth of God's word, but worldly principles. Secular humanism even has made inroads into the church. And we need to avoid those things that are falsely called knowledge. Mysticism, I don't know whether you know, this is making a big impact in the church again. Catholic mysticism is making a real impact in the church again. And it's coming in a big way. And these mystics that have written books are now very popular in even evangelical churches. And all to do with contemplative prayer and the like. So these things are not the knowledge that God is talking about that's based upon his truths, his word. And we need to be careful because there are things that are called knowledge that are falsely called knowledge, as Paul writes here to Timothy. And of course, if we are going to add knowledge to that moral excellence, we need to avoid those things. That's where it's got to start. If we're seeking to dabble in things that are not based upon the truths of God's word, then we will be in danger of adding a wrong knowledge to our faith and to that moral excellence. And that will render us ineffective in the purposes of God. Remember, the whole purpose of adding these things is to make us more effective in God's purposes, in how we serve him. So God is wanting us to be effective in the service of God. So let's be careful not to add a wrong kind of knowledge. So let's make sure that when we are seeking to add things to that to our character, if you like, that knowledge that the Bible talks about, that is based firmly upon what God says in his word. That's why it's so important that we have a right grasp of God's word. Because if we neglect God's word, we are open prey to these kind of things. And that's what has happened by and large in the church. Because we don't know the word of God, because we neglect it so evidently, we are open prey to these things that have come in. And there are deceiving spirits about, friends. Make no bones about that. And we need to be very careful. So having a good grasp on God's word will keep us in good stead to avoid these kinds of things, this false kind of knowledge that they had to deal with in Paul's time in the early church, and they've had to deal with down through the ages. This is nothing new. The enemy has always attempted to bring false things that have a sort of a semblance of knowledge, if you like. They might not be fully wrong, but there'll be things in that will actually lead it to be false knowledge. So let's guard against those things. I'll give you another text. We won't look at this, but Revelation 2 verse 24 talks about the church, I think it was Thyatira, that knew the deep secrets of Satan. There was a knowledge of in the church there that was not dependent upon the truths of God. It was actually dependent upon the things of the enemy, darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and deceiving spirits that were abounding in those days. So again, it's all related to this false knowledge. So we need to guard against this. But you see, God wants each one of us to be adding knowledge to our faith. This is his desire, to make us more effective in his service. And we can lack in this, of course. And I just want to look at one or two examples in the Old Testament before we then come back to the New Testament of Israel and their lacking in this area. And because they lacked in this area, there were severe consequences. There were dire consequences for them. Let's look first of all at Isaiah chapter 5 verse 13. It says that, therefore, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. You see, this was a deliberate rejection of the knowledge that God offered them. This isn't a lack of knowledge because they weren't mature in their faith. This was a rejection of the knowledge that God had that was coming, that will come through the word of God and through the law of the Lord. And there was a rejection of that. And what happened was there was an exile. And what the lack of knowledge does in this respect, when we're rejecting it and neglecting it, it takes us away from the presence of God. And that's what the exile did. It took them out of Jerusalem, out of Judah, out of the promised land, out of the promises of God and away from all those things that God had for them. And when we are deliberately rejecting and neglecting the things that God wants to add in this area of knowledge, then it will remove us from the place of blessing that God has for us. We won't be able to receive the things that he has for us. And this was true of Israel. They went into exile, away from the presence of the Lord. Hosea 4 verse 6 is another verse. Let me just read this. Don't have to turn to this for the sake of time. It says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the Lord of your Lord, I will also forget your children." So again, there was that deliberate rejection of the knowledge that came through the word of God, through the Lord of the Lord. And that's what Israel was doing. And because of that, there were severe consequences. Tragically, they were consequences that would last for the next generation as well. It affected the next generation, where God says, "I will forget your children." How tragic that we so often don't realize that the way that we live our lives, how we regard the things of God, have an impact upon those coming after us. And we're seeing that today as never before, aren't we? Particularly in the church. We have a God-given duty and responsibility, friends, don't we, to add this knowledge to our faith so that our children can see it, to can learn it themselves and not be forgotten by the Lord, as happened to Israel here. And one more verse in the Old Testament. Again, I'll just read this to you from Malachi 2. It talks of the lips of the priests should preserve knowledge. And there's much responsibility beyond leaders in the church, of course, in this whole area. Malachi 2 verse 7 says, "For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instructions from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you, as for you, you have turned aside from the way, and you cause many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts." So again, quite tragic that the priests, those with responsibility for handling the word, were, instead of imparting knowledge, they were causing the people to stumble. And that, I'm afraid, is where we are by and large today in the church. There's so much lack of knowledge being imparted to the body of Christ because the leaders themselves are not, as it says, that the lips of a priest are not preserving knowledge. So knowledge can be lost, friends. And there's a sense that the church as a whole has lost things because they haven't been imparted to the church by those with responsibility. Right, moving on. We'll move back to the New Testament now. Where can I find this knowledge? So important we know where to look for this knowledge, isn't it? Because if we look in the wrong place, we will find the wrong kind of knowledge. And we're going to look at Colossians 2, verse 3. And it says there, in whom, well, let's go and read the previous verse. "That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Friends, all the knowledge you and I need is found in Christ. We need look nowhere else. Everything, this is exhaustive, this statement, isn't it? Everything that we need, all the knowledge that I need and you need, is found in Christ, in our precious Saviour. It's found in him. And we need not look anywhere else. In fact, that's tied up with another verse I'll just read to you from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 5 says this. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Jesus, in him, in all speech and all knowledge." Here was the church that had known an enriching in their knowledge in Christ. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ that we will be enriched in that way. If we step outside of Christ, if we look anywhere else, we will not be enriched in the way that God wants us to be enriched in this knowledge. That knowledge that God wants to give us of his ways. That knowledge of his heart, of his mind, of his truths. The truths that are in God's word. Friends, we must look only to the Lord Jesus. It's only in him that you and I can be enriched. There's nowhere else that we can find it. Not in a denomination. Not in a man. Yes, God uses this one and that one to bring his word. And praise God he does. But we must look to him primarily, firstly. So it's in him, friends, that we need to do that. Well, that verse in Colossians 2. Well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to add this knowledge? I did mention earlier about avoiding the wrong kind of knowledge. Of course, that we've got to start there. But then it talks in that Colossians verse of hidden treasure. This treasure is hidden, friends. And that verse in Peter, that section that we read in Peter, talked about diligence. We looked at that a while ago, didn't we? You see, without diligence, you won't find this treasure. It isn't just going to jump out at you by you putting your feet up and saying, well, I've now given my life to the Lord and things are just going to happen. It doesn't work like that in the Christian faith. We have to apply ourselves. We have to give ourselves to God and his purposes. We have to give ourselves to God's word. Yes, friends, we have to give ourselves absolutely to the word of God and submit ourselves fully to what God says in his word. And if we do that, God will show us the treasures that are hidden there. And we will find that hidden knowledge. Those things that God has put in his word for us to see. So that word hidden implies that we need to be diligent in our seeking of this knowledge. God isn't going to, in a sense, keep it from us for the sake of it. But he wants us to apply ourselves. He wants us to regard it as something that is treasure. And you see, when something is treasure, it's worth going after, isn't it? And tying in with that, let me just read Proverbs. There's quite a few verses in Proverbs I want to read this morning as well. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Says this. Take my instruction and not... This is talking about wisdom again. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. How much do you value the knowledge that God has to offer us from his word? The things that God wants to show us, the truths that he has to impart to us. How much do we value that? Do we value that more than anything this world can offer? Because if we don't, we won't find them. God is not going to give his revelation, his understanding, that knowledge to us if we value it lightly. Because these things have come to us at such a great cost. They've come to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself on our behalf. And it's through him that they come. It's through him and in him we find these things. But if we value them lightly, friends, then we won't find them. We need to give ourselves absolutely to him, and we need to regard them as of great worth. And didn't Paul say that in Philippians 3? We'll turn there. When he regarded everything else compared to knowing Christ as rubbish. He regarded that as of greater value than anything else this world can offer. And friends, that's where we need to be. That's where our hearts need to be. And if your heart isn't there this morning, friends, well, come to the Lord. Confess it to him. Ask him to get you in that right place where your heart is wanting to know the things that he has for you. And will regard them as more important than anything else. Really, it's our estimation of the Lord himself that we're talking about. So how do we value those things? Well, how we value them will dictate what we're going to receive, what we get from him in this respect. Well, moving on, we'll stay in Proverbs for the next few verses. Proverbs 2 verse 6. Well, just really backing up what we've just been saying. Again, we could read the whole of this because it's such a good chapter, but we'll just read verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, the Lord gives knowledge, gives wisdom, gives understanding. It's from him that we get this. And it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with him, our seeking of him, our seeking of his word. But it's God who gives it. And what God is really wanting to do is to impart his knowledge to us. The things that he knows, we can know as well. And primarily, how do we do it? Well, it says it there, from his mouth. You see, God's word is of prime importance here, friends. It's through God's word that we will receive that knowledge, that understanding that he has for us. If we look outside of it, then we really risk finding something that's not in line with his word, that's very dangerous. So let's ensure that we are looking to him. As we come to him every day into his word, we're looking for that rhema word, aren't we? That word that God wants to speak to our hearts and quicken to us and show us of himself. Show us those truths that he wants us to get a hold of, to get a grasp of, that can become part of our experience. When God said that he's a good God, do we know that, friends? Do we know that in our lives and our experience? Is that something that's real to us? When he says he's merciful, do we know that? All the things that God says of himself, you know, we can know that for ourselves in our lives. It's not something that just we just need to know about because someone has told us about it, or because my parents have said it, or because someone I know has mentioned it. We can know this for ourselves in our experience, friends. That's the kind of knowledge that God has for us. To know the things that he's talking about in his word for ourselves. It is not to be second-hand knowledge, second-hand experience. That's not what God wants for us. That won't get us anywhere, friends. We need to know this for ourselves. Young and old alike this morning. We need to get a hold of him. A hold of the things he wants to show us, to grasp them in our experience, in our lives, so that we can serve him effectively as he wants to be served. So friends, let's look to him. Well, moving on, Proverbs 1, so just over the page, maybe not even over the page, Proverbs 1 verse 29. Well, let's read verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find, because they have hated knowledge. So if we lightly regard this knowledge that God has for us, the knowledge of him and his ways, then God says they will not find me because they've hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now I want to link these two things, the fear of the Lord and this receiving of the knowledge, because I think the two are related. And I'll just show one or two more verses. Now in 2 verse 5, Proverbs 2 verse 5. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. So the fear of the Lord, that right attitude towards God, that reverence of him, that fear of God is absolutely vital if we are to learn of him. Because God wants to teach us. Now I know as a teacher, and if I know one or two of you are teachers here, you know this yourself. If you don't have the right reverence, respect in the classroom, they're not going to learn as well as they should learn. In fact, some would say if they don't have a bit of fear of you, they're not going to learn much at all. So there's a place for that, a right fear. That if they step out of line, they're going to get it in the neck. Because that is the attitude that I want my students to have. That if they step out of line, or if they're doing things wrong and not listening and not giving heed because they don't have the right respect, that I want them to learn from that. Because if they're not going to learn, they're not going to pick up the things and learn the things and receive the things from me that they need to receive and learn if they don't have a right attitude towards me. You see, we have a great teacher, friends. The best teacher that there is, the Holy Spirit himself, the Spirit of God. In fact, in Isaiah, I've written this down, so I want to look at it. Isaiah 11 verse 2, it talks of the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It goes together again. Those two things can't be separated. If we are not living in the fear of the Lord, we will not receive the thing God wants to instruct us about. We won't receive the instruction that he has for us. We won't grow in the knowledge of God. We won't be able to add that knowledge to our faith that God wants to do. Wants to add. So the fear of the Lord, friends, that reverence of him, that right attitude towards him, is absolutely key in this. If we have a wrong attitude this morning to who God is, if we're rather flippant regarding him and our relationship with him, then don't be surprised if you don't receive a lot in this area. Friends, we need to be reverent of this God, who is a holy God. But praise God, we can draw near to him in Christ. And we can boldly approach the throne of grace this morning in Christ. But we do need to have that right attitude of him. And the fear of the Lord is just that. It's just a right attitude towards God. Regarding him for who he is. And do you know how that comes primarily? It comes from God's word. If we get into God's word, if we allow God to speak to our hearts and show us who he is, You will have a right attitude towards him. Mark my words. You won't approach him flippantly. You won't treat him trivially. And in a light-hearted way, you'll come before him in a right way. So friends, God's word is the key again here for getting this fear of the Lord, that reverence of him. Because it's in that attitude that we are in a good place to learn of him and receive the knowledge that he has to give us. Well, moving on. Proverbs 18 and verse 15. Says there, the mind or the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So let's talk about the first part. The mind or the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. So prudence. Not a word we don't hear these days much, that often, is it? Prudence. It's usually a name of somebody. Well, not these days, perhaps. But prudence is something that we require in our walk with the Lord. It just means to be careful. To be circumspect. Circumspect means exactly the same thing. To walk carefully or circumspectly with the Lord. And Ephesians 5 verse 15 talks about walking carefully with the Lord. So it's there in the New Testament as well. And that's what we need to do, friends. We need to be careful how we live our lives. To be prudent. The prudent acquires knowledge because he sees the need of it. So let's ensure, friends, that we are living prudently, carefully in our walk with the Lord. And again, that is connected with that fear of God as well. So that's another thing that we need. If we're going to add knowledge to our faith, we need to make sure that we are walking prudently, circumspectly, carefully before the Lord, and not in a wrong kind of way. And then one last verse, Psalm 19 verse 2. Okay, the first one. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day unto day they pour forth speech, and night to night they reveal knowledge. Friends, the creation around us tells us of the Creator. It tells us of him. It tells us of who he is. The verse in Romans 1 talks about God's eternal purposes and divine nature being seen through what he has made, so that all men are without excuse. We've got no excuse. It's there for all to see. But friends, when we are Christ's, how much more our eyes are opened when we look around us to see the things that he's made. And they can tell us far, far more when we are his, because we have that imprint of Christ upon our heart. We have the Spirit of God within us to make sense of these things. So that we can look out there and we can see the wonder of what he's done. Look up into the night sky and see what a great God we have. So there's those things that God has made in the heavens. Those things that God has put on the earth, his creation. Whereby we can add knowledge. And of course we need to keep that in the confines of Scripture. And not look to nature as being something that should be worshipped. God has given it. He's made it. So that he can show himself who he is. Not for the glory of nature, as we so often hear in our day, when anything happens in terms of the climate or anything else, it's always nature, isn't it? But actually it's God. It's the God who's made nature. It's the God who's formed things, who's put the stars into space. It's he who has done this. And friends, as we gaze upon them, as we consider them, as we meditate upon those things, then God can show us things about himself. Okay, but it's in Christ again. And we'll finish with that, because that's really, if nothing else you remember this morning, remember that verse in Colossians 2, friends. That's in Christ, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are treasures that are bound in Christ. Treasures of wisdom, but treasures of knowledge. He wants to show us them. He wants to teach us them. And it's only as we look to him, only as we develop our walk with him, as we stay close to him, that he is able to show us those things If we neglect our walk with the Lord, then we're not in a place to learn of him. Friends, we have a great teacher. He wants to teach us much. Let's ensure we're in that right place that we can learn of him. Let's pray.